Take your Bible tonight and go again to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to take a look at the passage that we looked at this morning, but the first half that we didn't read. I want us to begin in verse number 1, and we're going to look at two verses, but I'm going to read several as we begin. So we're in Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1, and I'm going to share four things with us as we get through this passage, and then I'm going to ask we all get up and we're going to walk out and have a prayer meeting in the foyer tonight, all right? I want us to pray over the friendliness of Olive. I want us to pray at the front door, okay? And we're going to do that right at the end of the service, okay? All right. Well, we're going to do it whether you like it or not, all right? So here we go, all right? Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now there was a man at Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. Now notice, here's a lost man, he's a Gentile, he's a Roman, he loved the temple, he gave alms, he prayed, and about the ninth hour, which had been 3 PM, of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius! It's an exclamation point after that word. I don't know, I just think probably when an angel talks, he probably gets your attention. It's like, hey. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed. You'd be alarmed if an angel hollered your name. And he said, what is it, Lord? Now here's a lost man. He knows who's talking to him. What do you want? Lord. He calls him what he is. Lord, you're speaking to me. What is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa. Send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He's staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour, this is noon, to pray. And he became hungry and was desiring to eat. And while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, by no means, Lord. Now the lost man said, what is it you want me to do, Lord? The apostle, when told what to do, said, no, Lord. You ever tell God no? And yet, say he's your Lord. Everybody in his room's done it. We all struggle with yes or no. No, Lord. I've never eaten anything unholy or unclean. And again, a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. This happened 3 times, and immediately the object was taken up out of the sky, into the sky. While Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having asked the directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And we preached about that this morning. I want us to think about that phrase where Peter says, by no means. Lord, eat, no. Do that, no. Third time, here it is, clean and unclean. Eat. Now, he's struggling. He's got Old Testament law that tells him he can't do that, and he's never done it. And he said, I'm perplexed, I'm torn, I know. I mean, he should not have even been at Simon's house. Simon's a tanner. A tanner touches dead animals. Leviticus says you couldn't touch dead animals. The carcass. So being even in the tanner's house, God's is moving him toward this decision. No, Lord. There are three areas I want to talk to you about where I believe that followers of Christ struggle and say no too often. I want to draw those some illustrations out of Scripture. First one is an Old Testament character. His name is Jonah. When we are told to obey God, we sometimes say no to God's direction. Jonah, get up, go down to Tarsus. No. He hitches a ride the other direction. And you know, the storm comes and he's thrown in, the great fish swallows him. Jonah has a prayer meeting in the fish. And the fish vomits him out. And he hits the ground running in the right direction. But he said no. What is it that God is asking you to do in simple obedience to him that you're saying no about? Well, we all struggle with it. And the Lord says, share your faith. No. The Lord says, go and teach. No. The Lord says, serve in this. No. Lord. You cannot say no, Lord. If he's Lord, you say yes. But if you say no, you're just playing games with the word Lord. And so God puts us in this vice, and he says, I want you to do this. And some say no. Jonah did. Jonah said no. He said no to personal obedience to what God had told him to do. Now, most of us, we think of big decisions, and big decisions are very important. Think of coming here to be your pastor. It was hard. I didn't know. I was willing to do what God wanted, but it was hard to say yes. We're dealing with this church over here, and should we go or do or not? And whether we should. Yes, Lord, if that's what you want, make it what we should. Our young people, this building, man, what a great facility that's going to be. It is. There'll be young people be called to ministry. Think of the ESPYs that were here today. Thank God for them. Way God touched them. I remember the day Dr. Lewis came in my office and struggled with his commission in the Navy, and would he do that or not? Remember that day? Stan, I prayed too. Man, he remembers it better than I do. That was a hard day. When God said, yes, do this, and then if he's Lord, you've got to say yes. Or decide you're Lord. Jonah ran from obedience. If you're not careful, you'll run from obedience, and that's called disobedience. You got to do that God's called you to do. So number one, you can say no when it comes to personal obedience. Jonah did. Number two, you can say no to honoring God with your finance. We find that one in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira have got their plot of ground, they've sold it, then they lied to the Holy Spirit, and God killed them. Holy smoke. Or the pallbearers are waiting at the door. Because they said no about their finances. Now, I want to talk to you about your money for a minute. I mean, this is Super Bowl Sunday night in the Baptist church. So both of us are here. I mean, I know who's here tonight. I mean, you fill out your envelope, all right? You give. Some of our finest givers be sitting right here in this room. Are you giving what God's told you to give? A tithe's a great place to start. But I want to ask you, are you honoring God not just with your tenth, but with your hundred? Do you honor Him with all of it? I don't mean you give it all, but I mean that it's all under His authority. Everything. God, I give you my budget. And how you want it done, I'll do. Yeah. Sometimes we'll say no about our finances. You know, there could be a Baptist, even on a Sunday night, that's not a tither that comes to church. You know, preacher, I didn't come for this. Well, you came. And it's this. Now, you ought to honor God with the first fruit of your income. If He's Lord, He'll take care of you. You ought to begin with a tenth and then go to where God wants you to be over and above that. Honor Him with every dime. It's not yours. You honor Him with all of that. We had one of our Disciple Now boys that was at a home that had a swimming pool. And his daddy told me last night that somebody told him, said, if you'll jump in the pool, I'll give you $5. And they were just, but before they could turn around, he was in the pool. Shirt, breeches, shoes, everything. Boom, he went in. So I saw him over there in the building after second service today. I said, I heard you made money on D-Now. And he kind of smiled. And he said, yeah, they gave me $5. I jumped in the pool. I said, you put 50 cents in the offering plate this morning? I said, listen, if you're going to make money off of my programs at church, you're going to honor God with your money. His kid's about 11 years old. He looked at me. I said, I'm not just joking with you. I said, if you don't learn to honor God with a tithe off of $5 that you got for being wicked, you're not going to honor God when you get a real job. I wore him out pretty hard over it. I'm expecting that 50-cent piece when he gets here next Sunday, I guarantee you. Let me tell you, if you won't honor God with a tenth of your first $5, you won't honor Him with a tenth when you make a half a million. Somebody say, oh, yeah, no. Let me tell you, if you won't do it to begin, you won't do it in the end. Principle. No, Lord, personal obedience. No, Lord, personal finance. And then thirdly, I find in Acts 13:13, a young man by the name of Mark that Paul said, I don't want him to go, we're not taking him with us because he left them on the mission and went back home. He had said he was going, but then he decided no. Not only in personal obedience, not only in personal finance, but in personal mission. There may be somebody in here tonight God's called you to preach. He's called you to ministry. John, you remember when God called you to ministry? Yes, sir. Remember that struggle in his heart. Well, should I do this, do that? What am I going to do? Hand of God. Jared, this morning up here. Man, through my heart, see it, young man. Right here, grew up in our ministry. God said, that's what I want you to do. He could say yes, he could say no. John Mark in Acts 13:13 said, I'm going home. Now, there's good news in John Mark. Because out of John Mark's disobedience came a second chance to be obedient. Thank God for Barnabas that found a believer that was saying no and gathered him up in his arms and discipled him. And today we have Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. Mark wrote the second gospel. Matter of fact, it was the first gospel written. It's the oldest gospel. The first gospel we have is placed secondly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the gospels that are there. But he turned his no to yes and became faithful in the mission. Now, I don't know what God's called you to do. But when he calls you in ministry, and he calls all of us to do something, doesn't mean you're going to be the pastor of a church or the minister of music or go to Africa, right? But he's called you to do mission somewhere. And when God calls you to do mission, you should obey. No, Lord. No. Yes, Lord. In personal obedience, in personal finance, and in personal mission. But there's one more place I want you to see before we have prayer meeting tonight. This is not a believer, but an unbeliever. Because the worst no that you can ever say is no to the gospel. And we find that man in Acts 26. I'll preach about this in a few weeks. Paul stands and preaches, and in Acts 26 and 28, you know that passage where Agrippa says, almost, Paul, you think you're going to persuade me so quickly? Almost. His almost was a no to the gospel, to the gospel. Now, I have to confess to you, I never remember a time in my life, because I got saved when I was 10, I said yes to the gospel the first time I understood it. I can never remember saying no to the gospel. When the gospel came to my heart, I said yes. It doesn't make me anything except saved and make me good. I was just tender and God drew me. But I know people that just say no to the gospel. God woos and calls and woos and calls. And they just say no. There's a gentleman, he's not here tonight, but he comes a lot on Sunday night. And he's here this morning. He sits right in here, Brother Jack. He sits right in here. I pray for that old boy all the time. I pray for him. Been sharing with him, trying to woo him and draw him. You know, I try to help God all I know. Not that he needs my help, but he's called me to preach. And Paul said, I persuade you. But he just smiles and says, this guy comes on Wednesday night. He eats dinner and still says no. But one day, I believe he's going to say yes. So I continue to give the gospel. No. Give the gospel. No. But then one day, here he comes. It's like Mr. Adams that sat right up there for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Wouldn't come. Finally one Sunday, here he came. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good. See him come. Say yes unto the Lord. Do you know it helps you listen to preaching if you've got somebody lost that you've been bringing to church? It'll keep you awake during the invitation, I guarantee. But there's a struggle. It's an eternal struggle. When people are saying no and almost unto the gospel. That's why you shouldn't fiddle-faddle around during the invitation. That's why if you know you got to leave during the invitation, you ought to sit on the back. We sitting down here at the front and then run out. You're disturbing things. Jeff Russo, I've told you this scores of times. He used to tell me, he said, Pastor, anybody that jump up and run out and make a disturbance during the invitation is worse than somebody that would bump the elbow of a surgeon while he's doing open heart surgery. Man, that's pretty pointed right there. He says, you shouldn't do that. Because somebody's saying no to eternity. No. Yes, Lord. No, Lord. Yes. I encourage you in your personal obedience. Yes, Lord. Your personal finance. Yes, Lord. In your personal mission, what God calls you to do. Yes, Lord. And in salvation, if you've never been saved tonight, understand Jesus Christ died for you, and you ought to say to him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I call on you. Come and save me. I got a text from a young girl this morning. She's engaged to a military fella. She said, Pastor, I wept all during church this morning, praying for my fiance. He wasn't here today. He's out of town. She said, I'm praying that God would do for that man what you talked about God doing for military personnel today, and they'd come to faith, and that they'd say, yes, 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 Lord. Amen.